Welcome to The Changeover, the podcast that gives sales and marketing teams at industrial organizations the fuel to grow and prosper in today's dynamic landscape. We're Wider Group, an integrated marketing and sales growth agency and one of the first 20 HubSpot partners in the world. We're glad you tuned in. Let's roll.
Welcome back to The Changeover podcast. I'm your host, Greg Linnemanstuns, president of Wider Group. In this episode, Rick Kranz, our director of RevOps, is back talking about artificial intelligence for industrial sales teams. You'll learn how AI is transforming the sales landscape and how you can leverage these tools to enhance your processes and boost your effectiveness. Let's get started. So joining me again this week is Rick Kranz, our director of RevOps at Wider Group. And the last time we talked, we were looking at improving sales processes and using automation from CRM platforms to help take the friction and make it easier, more fun for salespeople to do their jobs. And today we're going to talk about something that's been exploding of late, and that's the application of AI to the sales processes. And Rick, love to hear your thoughts on this. This is happening right now, and that's what makes it so exciting.
Yeah, it's exploding now, and 2024 is really when we saw the explosion of AI tools for salespeople. It's been around. AI tools have been around for a little bit, a lot focused on the marketing side of things, but yeah. Now we're really starting to see stuff that salespeople can actually use. In the past, there were some things positioned for salespeople, but they just they interfered more with the sales process than they actually helped the salespeople. So now this is a really exciting, and it's one place I've been immersed in heavily. Yeah. is AI.
Where do you think, I think I've seen you go from skeptical to wildly excited about this. So talk about why you were skeptical and now why it is you're really become a strong advocate for using AI as a sales tool.
The earlier versions of what people were talking about AI for sales, they're talking about buyer intent, which was some experts told me that, okay, it's not really AI, it's just an advanced algorithm. Buyer intent back then has never proved itself to be of any value. As far as I could see, it never actually delivered on its promise. So that was some skepticism there. But really what's made me enthusiastic about AI now is creating AI sales assistants. So instead of saying, AI can take the place of sales, or it can actually tell you who's going to close, which is another promise that's never been delivered on. It actually can act as an assistant for you and take over some of, just imagine if you were a salesperson with an unlimited budget to hire as many people as you wanted to sit with you and do anything you ask them to, right? Like, I need you to research these 10 prospects for me, and I need some detailed information in the next 30 seconds, right? How many people would you have to hire to do that? It's not possible. But yeah. Now you have that at your fingertips. Every salesperson can have that at their fingertips, and they could have it automated. So they don't have to actually type into a ChatGPT or a Claude, which are great tools, but you don't even have to do that. You can have this totally automated inside of your CRM system or even inside of a spreadsheet.
Yeah. So back to your skepticism, I'm curious about that. What did you see as early limitations of AI that made you a little more hesitant about embracing it for sales? You mentioned the buyer intent stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me more.
Well, I spent a lot of money on buyer intent.
Okay.
I remember you and I were in two different agencies, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And we'd be on some of those meetings where somebody would come in our mastermind group, right? And somebody would come in and do a presentation on buyer intent, and you'd be skeptical about it, but I'd go out and buy it. I went out and bought it, and I think I did three different platforms of buyer intent, and none of them delivered on their promise. So it's really hard to predict human behavior.
Still
hard to predict human behavior. It could be different, like if you have a lot of data points. So, for our clients, we work in the industrial sector, long sales cycles, right? So they're not working with thousands of leads coming in. Now, if you have thousands of leads coming in a week, you can probably apply some AI to manipulate the data and figure out, okay, these 100 are more likely to close and make a purchase than these 1,000. But when you're working with, you know, 3 or 4 leads, and you're trying to generate more, it's a different story.
Yeah. Now, going back to what you said about, imagine if a salesperson had an unlimited budget mm-hmm. for assistance. Talk a little more in the weeds about what kinds of things you could use AI to make a salesperson more productive, more powerful in mm-hmm. the work they can get done.
There's one that we just created, right? And we just launched. I built, it's a research assistant that plugs into the CRM. It doesn't matter which CRM you have. You could even use a spreadsheet. But I have somebody that comes into my CRM. Maybe they come in as a referral. Maybe they come in from a website form. I don't really know anything about them. Typically, as a salesperson, the only time I have to do any kind of research before I meet with them is to go to their website, do a cursory look at what they do, and then maybe go to LinkedIn, see, you know, what their background is, get an idea a little bit about them before I have the meeting with them. But now we have AI research agents. So we have a system that we built with 9 AI research agents. And within 30 seconds, they prepare a document that I could use during my meeting. And the document has a 150-word summary of their website. It devours the whole website, finds out exactly what they do. It has another section where it gives 10 interesting facts by looking at the website about mm-hmm. this company. And then another section where it's in the news. So it goes out, another agent goes out and does research and finds out if there's any news articles about this company. And then it reports it into a little section. And then the most interesting part I like is we have agents that understand what we do as a service, like what our service is. And it looks at what that company does. And then it looks at what that particular person was doing on our website. Were they looking at sales enablement services? Were they looking at website development? Were they looking at video implementation services? And it analyzes that, and it's actually using all 3 platforms. There's 3 different agents, 1 from each platform. Uh-huh. And they each put their own spin on how we could work together, submits it to a 4th agent that does an editing job of it.
So it combines the 3.
Combines all 3.
Wow.
Combines all 3, picks the best from each one, combines it and puts it into the document. And then there's a last agent that actually develops from all that information, develops 5 Sandlerized questions to use during the meeting. This all happens in 30 seconds. And it's a document that you can type in. So it's a living Google Doc. It's not something you can take notes on it, and it's attached to the person's record in the CRM. So that's all done with a click of a button by the salesperson.
I think I told you this last week. I was getting ready for one of our client conversations, a quarterly meeting. And mm-hmm. 15 minutes before the meeting, I went and used that product. And I had a 4-page summary of everything I needed to know about the business, the actual people on the call, and the conversations that we had previously with them. And so I was prepped as beautifully as you possibly could be in 15 minutes. And all thanks to that product. So there's your first endorsement. Love it. When you mentioned, you keep saying AI agent. Can you mm-hmm. tell our audience what that means, what an AI agent really is?
I'll give you my definition of an AI agent. So when we all think of AI, we probably think of, you know, the web browser, ChatGPT, or Anthropic's Claude, right? Or Gemini, or Perplexity, which runs on several different, you can choose which AI system you want it to run on. So where you're typing information into these web pages, these are front ends, and it's coming back and giving you the output that you requested, right? It's AI is analyzing what you're doing. It may go out on the internet and do some research and come back and give you that answer. Okay. When I say an agent, I'm meaning it's an independent piece of AI software that lives where you don't even see it and you're not interacting directly with it. It is activated through APIs. It's pulled into a system to work with other agents independently. So these will work together independently behind the scenes. And it's built out by an engineer that builds it out. And you set it to work. You say, okay, I need this research document done. And based on the system that was set up, they independently go out. You don't have to input anything. You're not typing anything in to a screen or asking it anything.
Right. But Rick,
it knows what it has to do. Yeah.
You're not an engineer, right?
Right.
And you created an AI research agent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 9 of them there. So this is interesting times, right? You don't need to be an engineer. There's no code automation systems now that people are using, like a make.com or Zapier has been around forever. Zapier has been a no code automation system around forever. And you could do that with Zapier too.
So when you think about a business that has a robust sales function, maybe a relatively complex buyer journey, what can you imagine AI agents being created to do that will make a sales force happy that in the background there's these things happening that they don't have to do anymore, so they can put even more of their time focused on their clients and their prospects?
Well, there's the whole email issue, right? For salespeople.
Yeah.
We have AI agents that can read incoming emails, sort through them, prioritize them for the salesperson, and even respond with a draft. So I never would recommend in this day and age to let it automatically respond. But what we have it do is draft a response. And it could draft a response in your tone of voice. You could take a sample of your writings from your emails or from other areas and process that through either ChatGPT or Claude or Perplexity and have it do an analysis of your writing style. And then you build that into the agent. So one AI can train another AI. It's interesting, right? And then when it's answering your emails, it can have access to any information you want it to. Like, so you can build in, okay, access to our website so it knows what we do. It can have access to our pricing if you want to have it actually formulate some pricing information. It can have access to your standard operations and things like that. So when it drafts the email, it can draft it in your tone, in your voice,
yeah,
if you like.
Yeah.
That's a big time saver.
So there's potentially AI agents lurking around every corner, potentially, for businesses to create to take advantage of what AI can do for them around some aspect of their business function that can rely on the consistency that it can provide without human judgment required. Is that
right?
What we're searching for now is identifying those activities that machine learning, AI, can do for us, can take off the human plate?
I look at two areas when we're working with sales. One is labor savings. So researching, the one we talked about, the researching, right? Maybe I get 3 leads a week coming in. Not a lot, but I can have this AI system do research that would take, you know, several people hours to do in 30 seconds. So why not have that? Why not have that at my fingertips instead of just doing the cursory stuff that I would do? You know, it's good to have this additional information and all this insight. So that's a labor savings. The other thing I look at is at scale. So there's things that can't be done because they're not humanly possible to do at scale. Like, for instance, we know that cold outreach is tough. It's a tough nut, right? We know that sending out cold emails to lists, a lot of people say it doesn't work. It doesn't work because it only works 0.25, a quarter of 1% of the time. However, if you're sending out 2,000 emails a week, you will actually get some meetings and you will get some deals. But it's not humanly possible to send out 2,000 emails a week that are personalized, right? Like, personalized to you. Like, it knows, it talks about your company. It talks about, you know, so it's actually speaking to you. But with AI, you can do things at scale. You can set up AI to research 2,000 contacts, 2,000 companies, and have it send out 2,000 emails and do outreach. And so because they're personalized, you're going to get a better response rate. But that's what I'm calling, at scale. You can do things like that with AI, couldn't do that with humans. It wouldn't be cost effective to do with humans.
So it could be personalized that it not only understands who the person is, but could even look for interactions they've had with your website, what pages they viewed. It could look at every possible interaction we might have had with them and incorporate that into the email and at scale. Yeah. So 2,000 of those.
Right. Well, yeah. And even if they didn't like save as cold, so we didn't have interaction with our email. But what you were talking about is another way. That's a time savings, a labor savings. Like, for instance, leads coming in. Now, we talked about doing that, putting that research document together for a meeting. But what about leads coming in that didn't request a meeting? Like contacts just coming in through the system. Maybe they downloaded something, right? But they don't want a meeting. We can have AI research them just like we do for that document and draft an email and outreach. It can talk about what pages they were on, or it just, you know, it can pick relevant content based on what they were looking at on our website and do an outreach automated in the background for that salesperson.
It could also include, you talked about your research tool, scanning for news. It could scan for news and bring in whatever's relevant into that content of that email.
Yeah. Another exciting area is cold calling. You've met my sales assistant, Maeve, that we have fun with occasionally, right?
Yeah. Yep.
She's a cold calling assistant. She is a voice caller. So she's built on a platform where she could actually make phone calls and, hey, thanks for reaching out to me. I'm Rick's AI assistant. And they sound like you have real conversations with them. You could ask them anything. You got to be careful what you ask them. And they can book meetings. So this is another really crazy, interesting area for sales.
What do you think's holding people back, you know, especially in our space, industrials, manufacturers, the businesses that work with them, what's holding them back from dipping their toes in the AI water a little more?
A lot of this is still seen as cutting edge or even bleeding edge. Typically in our industry, we don't have a lot of early adopters. So I think there's people sitting on the sidelines saying, let's wait and see. It may be that implementing something could be too disruptive to their existing process. But I am seeing, you know, good interest and success with the research agent. That's really not disrupting anybody's process. It's just a plugin, like not changing anything. You click a button, now all of a sudden you have some information that you couldn't get before. And maybe you'll free up one of your assistants to do something more valuable, right?
Yeah. What advice would you give people in industrials and manufacturing? What advice would you give them about how they could begin exploring the possibilities of both quality and productivity improvements with AI?
There's one thing I've been talking about constantly that is simple to do. It's completely free. And that is starting to use Notebook LM from Google, which
I knew you were going to say
pretty much flying under the radar, right?
Yeah.
You can use, I mean, we're using it. Everybody in our team now is using that in our company. What I recommend people do with this, especially in sales, is since most companies now have some kind of recording device during their sales meetings, whether it's with their customers or with their prospects, when they have these meetings, maybe it's Fireflies, maybe it's Avoma, or it's just a Zoom recording. If you take these transcripts company-wide and you put them into Notebook LM, and Notebook LM is from Google, it's free, it's built on Gemini, and it's private. They guarantee that they will not use any information you put in there to train their AI, and it's not public access. So with these transcripts inside of Notebook LM, we're able to see across the entire organization. So imagine you have 40 people having meetings with many different customers and prospects, and you don't really have insight into what's happening at a, you know, global level. But you can with this. You bring it into these systems and you just ask it, query the question, like, what is the common issue our prospects face? And it comes back with answers, and it comes back with, and it cites where it got that answer, those answers from. You could ask it really complicated things like, how would you formulate a solution for the common problems these are having, these people are having, and it comes back with formulating a solution for it. It's really, really, truly amazing. And I think it's a good place to get started because it gets you comfortable with, oh, wow, this is what it can really do without exposing yourself to situations where you may feel like, oh, AI might embarrass me by doing something that I don't want it to do. I think it's a good place to start.
You just alluded to this. What are the things that you think are holding people back from learning what they can expect from products like Notebook LM and other AI? What advice would you give them about the apprehensions they have?
I think everyone is used to being able to, you bring in a system and you train your staff on it. And this is not like that. This is something that's changing every week and it's evolving. It's
well,
hard to wrap
scary,
your
Rick.
It's hard to wrap. It is. It's not scary. It's exciting. It's hard to wrap your arms around. Like, what is this? What is it doing? I like the way we handle it. We give everybody access to these tools. We ask people to come up with their use cases for them, and we share those use cases with each other, and we find ways to implement this. I think that's really, you have to rely on your people. You have to give them access to the tools, but then talk about the tools. Like, how are they using them? Where are these tools good? Like, where does it not make sense to use these tools? Right? There's certain areas where these tools are not good at. You know, they'll give you stupid answers. AI is not, it's not as creative as the human mind, but it's capable of doing amazing things right now.
Well, Rick, this is a great conversation. Thanks for joining me. Fascinating what's happening and equally exciting to think about, as you said, it's changing every week. So to our audience, we promise we'll be back with more because it's going to keep changing our world and our industry. Really enjoyed talking to you, Rick. And to our audience, hope you enjoy this and look forward to seeing you on the next episode of The Changeover from Wider Group. That's all for this episode of The Changeover. We hope this discussion has shed light on the potential of AI to enhance your sales processes and efficiency. Visit wider.com/changeoverpodcast to get links to any resources mentioned in today's episode. I'm Greg Linnemann-Stuns. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for joining us on the Changeover Podcast. Remember to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, Wider.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. Let us know what you'd like to hear about next time by messaging Wider Group on social media. Thanks for listening.